responding to the birth of Christ. The first message in the series, we looked at the fact that Mary had a response. Mary believed. Joseph had a response. Joseph obeyed the angels when the angel told him to take Jesus and his mother and go into Egypt, so forth and so on. Then last week we looked at how John, while still a baby in his mother's womb, responded by leaping to the birth of Jesus, to the presence of Jesus. We looked at how Elizabeth responded by being filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesying. That was her response, and even called and even knew that Mary had in her womb the Savior of the world. And so everybody has to have a response to the birth of Jesus. It's either you believe it or you don't, or you're skeptical, or I don't have, you know, something, but there has to be a response. And all through the Christmas story, if you will, in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter 2, you have people responding to the birth of Jesus. You don't only have favorable responses, you have antagonistic responses, one which I probably won't get to in this series, I don't have enough time, but you would know that King Herod didn't like the fact that someone else was going to be king. And so he sent to Bethlehem and killed all the children 2 years and under. And so many mothers were weeping and grieving because all the children were killed. He was hoping to kill Jesus. But because Joseph's response to his birth was obedience, Jesus wasn't in Bethlehem at the time when all the children were killed. And so you see that the response to Jesus' birth is very important. It wasn't only important for them in that day, but it's important for us in our day, okay, that we respond to the birth of Christ. Today, I want to look at a couple other responses to the birth of Jesus, and this is a shorter message. To quote Moses, I will be short to be sure today. I will be brief to be sure. But what I want to look at, I want to look at two other responses to the birth of Jesus. One, the first one we're going to look at, is actually has to do with the angelic response, because there is a response. And then I want to look at the shepherds and how they responded. So let's pray. We'll read our text and we'll get through this today. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word, which is truth. Thank you, O God, for your Holy Spirit, which agrees with your word always. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would teach us, lead us, and guide us into truth. I thank you for that which we will hear. Lord, will not be simply what I'm saying, but we will hear what the voice of the Spirit is saying. Lord, and that each one of your children, each person here today, will hear what they need to hear, will take away what they need to take away as you speak to them through your word. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting at I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. And it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Amen. Whenever God comes into a human's space, we're always afraid. Why? Because we're so unlike him. It doesn't even make sense. What's going on? And so they were greatly afraid, right? Then the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I would love to have been there. I just wonder if the angel just said, don't be afraid, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, or if he embellished. I mean, I wonder, you just wonder if the angel kind of just went with it, said, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. You wonder how he presented it. Angels are true, by the way. They are real. I've seen two in my lifetime. You may look at me and say, I'm crazy, but I'll tell you, no, you crazy, because when they show themselves, you know it, okay? You're not dreaming, you're not asleep, you're not sleepwalking or anything. They are real, and they do appear when God would have them to. Okay, and so he says, Do not be afraid, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's where we're going to go so far. We'll deal with the rest. We'll deal with the rest in a little bit. But I just want to bring up, just say a few things and make a few points, and then we will continue to rejoice in the day that God has given us. Amen? Amen. Well, the angel comes to these shepherds, and I'm dealing with there's so much I could just rabbit trail to the left and to the right and go down every one of these, and I'm not going to do that because then we would be here far too long. But we understand that shepherds in that time were the lowest rung of society. They were looked upon by those who were well off as, you know, pretty much the scum of the earth, and they weren't given much. They weren't high up in society. They weren't considered of any great value. So it's interesting when the angel of the Lord shows up to talk to the shepherds. Just as with Christ's birth, people would want him to be born in a castle. He was born in a manger. You would expect the angel maybe to show up to, you know, someone up in the government, but he shows up in the fields at night to these lowly shepherds. So at any rate, these shepherds are somewhat distraught, looking around about themselves, and they're afraid. And he says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. And I thought to myself, is it any wonder that we sing today? You know, wherever people are having a good time, usually there's some singing and some festivity and some celebrating going on, right? And wherever you find a great time going on, you'll usually find some singing. I'm going to deal with this point just a little bit, that the angels sang. That was their response. That was their response to the birth of Jesus. It's interesting how we'll come upon it. But they said, we're bringing you this great news. You're going to be really joyful about this. For there is born to you in the city of David today one who is called a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, for you and I, that may not have meant a lot, but to those Israeli Jewish shepherds or the Jewish people, that would mean a lot, because if you were to go back into the Old Testament and you would look at the instances of when a Savior is talked about, you would see things like this. And the book of Isaiah has the most references to Savior in the Old Testament, but some of the other books do as well. But this is one. I had a list of them, but then I pulled them all off because I said I don't want to go over them, because then I'll start teaching about the Savior, then I won't stay on my point. But listen at Isaiah 43 and verse 11. This is what it says. Even I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Let me say it again. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So when the angel shows up and says, there is born in the city of David today a Savior, what was he saying? God had already said, besides me, there is no Savior. So when the angel said, today in the city of David is born to you a Savior, Christ the Lord, the angel was saying, God has now come in human flesh. God has taken the form, has incarnated himself. He has come to earth in the form of a human, and he's just been born as a baby in a manger. That's what he was saying. All the there are other verses I could read them to you out of the book of Isaiah that talk where God says there is no other Savior. Well, that would imply something. That would imply something not only to the Jewish people then, because they were in bondage, but it would apply something to you and I now. See, because if you need a Savior and I need a Savior, it says something about our condition, right? And then the angel said, this is good news of great joy. Anybody who's in prison, anyone who's bound, anyone who's in chains and shackles, and you tell them and say, I'm going to turn you loose. I'm going to open up the prison door, and I'm going to cause you to walk free. That person about to get happy. That person about to get the dance on, because they're going to be excited. You mean I get to get out of here? Yes, I'm going to set you free. That is what Jesus' coming was to the world. He came. As Savior. Savior from what? Savior from what would it be? Well, the angel told, I believe it was Joseph, he told Joseph, he said, he's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to save the people from their sins. And that's what Christ came to do, first and foremost, to save us from our sins. Is there anyone here that you know 100% you have no sin? I mean, you just, can I have a hand? Anyone? Come on. Is there one? Is there one brave soul? No. No, there's no one. So when this was said, he said this good news of great joy will be to all people. It was because all people had sinned. And all people were in need of this Savior. And so, you know, the angel comes to the shepherd. The shepherds are standing there, and he says this. He gives this great news. And then he gives a sign in verse 12, and he says, this is the sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, in my mind, right there, is where it should go to the next line should be, and the shepherds went to see Jesus. That's what in my mind. Here's your sign, okay? So the angel gives them the sign. Okay, we got it. Now we're going to see Jesus. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, you shall see the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here's one angel talking to these shepherds. Suddenly, there appeared a multitude of a heavenly host. There was, a multitude of, the Bible speaks, when it speaks about angels, it says there are thousands times 10,000 thousands of angels. There's an innumerable company of angels. Well, a multitude of these showed up with the one angel. He's one, and all of a sudden, an appearance of a multitude of angels show up on the scene. Now, when they show up, and as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, look, this is the will of God that this happened. It wasn't enough for them just to get the sign. God wanted them to see what the angelic response would be to Christ being born in the earth, to Christ coming in the flesh. And so the angel said, it says that this multitude of a heavenly host appeared praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What what response did the birth of Jesus elicit from the angels? They sang. The scripture, when you read commentaries, when they look at how the construction of this glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill toward men, they talk about the parallelism that is written with, and that it was structured as a song. So that this was sung, not just proclaimed, not just said, but sung. And so that's where we get songs like, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Angels we have heard on high singing sweetly, or, that's where they get this from. So these angels now are singing. Now, what's also interesting is that in the Old Testament, the angels are told to praise God. And Psalm 103 and Psalm 148, he says, bless the Lord your God, or praise God from the heavens. And we understand why the scripture says that, because God is present in heaven. The angels of God praise God in heaven because that's where God is. But when in Luke chapter 2, these angels appear on earth and are praising God on earth, why? Because that's where God has now appeared. He's appeared as in this baby. He's appeared in baby Jesus. And so the angels are not, they're not in heaven saying, glory to God in the highest. They are on earth. The only instance in the Bible where angels are on earth praising God is in Luke chapter 2 at the birth of Jesus. And they are saying to God, glory to God in the highest. Amen. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Makes sense, because Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6, the writer says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Let all the angels of God worship him. So what we see is, we see it when Mary was told by the angel that you're going to have a son, you're going to bear the Christ child. You know what Mary did? She sang. It's called Mary's Song. You can read it in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. When the angel got done talking to Zechariah, Zechariah wrote a prophetic song, and he sang. When Jesus was born in the earth, the angels sang a song. Back in the Old Testament, Hannah sang when the Lord blessed her with offspring. The angels sang in this portion of Scripture. You know what? We've been singing ever since. We've been singing ever since. The angels started it, and we keep it going. We keep it going. I said earlier, of whose birth do we sing other than Jesus? Who? You ever thought about it? Come on, somebody, give me, this is an interactive sermon. Give me somebody that we sing about their birth. Thank you. That's interactive enough. No one. We only sing about one person's birth. And that is the Lord Jesus. So I pulled, you can sing a song so much. You can hear something so many times over and over again that you lose the significance of what the song is saying. That's, some of you probably wonder, why are we singing a cappella this morning? But come on, y'all, play, Tori, hit them drums, Justin, how come? Well, sometimes I just want to hear the voices. You know the most important part of worship anyhow, right, is right here. This is what God's after. Doesn't matter how loud you hit the drums, how hard you hit the keys, the instrument that he's most involved with is the heart. It's the heart. And so, we hear, I love Christmas music, by the way. Pandora is a gift. Anybody use Pandora? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man, I put it on the Christmas, classical Christmas, and I just, in my office all day long, and I'm just, I love Christmas music. I want to share a little bit, just read a little bit of this song that Charles Wesley wrote. We know the song. We'll probably sing it next week in worship. I don't know. We'll see. But he wrote this song called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, we could probably all hum the tune. And we could keep humming and humming and humming. But when was the last time you stopped and really took in the words? Listen at this. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. I was told that if you want somebody to remember something, put it in a song. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Come on, everybody just started right there. Because We all know, we all remember that, right? And so when the angels say, and the message that was given to them is now in capitalized in a song, and we sing it over and over and over and over again. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild. Listen at this, God and sinners are reconciled. There's the message right there. What Jesus came to do was to reconcile God and sinners. First verse, his whole life, right there. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Verse 2, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, he come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. God came in human flesh. The mystery of mysteries, the mystery that will confound for all time, God in human flesh. Listen at this. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Pleased as man with man to dwell. Oh my goodness. Listen, church. You wouldn't like living with me. How on earth does he? Come on, when you know yourself, you'll say the same thing. If you're honest, you'll say the same thing. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Verse 3, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. My God, one day we're going to see the glory that Jesus stepped out of and left so that he could come and be born as that baby in that manger. One day we're going to see him fully clothed. He even said to his disciples at one time, he said, what if you were to see me with the glory that I had before? He told them, one day we're going to see that, beloved. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Oh, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Because if not, you must be born again. Huh? We all been born once, but you got to be born twice. You must be born again. Verse 4, come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Please, Lord. Adam's likeness now affest. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. These words, and I didn't get to joy to the world and the other song that we sang, hopefully it wasn't just the tune that you can hum. And that's all right, but it's all about the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus. God coming to the earth to redeem it. Amen. I always like to say about the birth of Jesus, do you want a present? Do you want presents? Or do you want presence? Do you want presence, things, or do you want presence, the presence of Jesus? Let me tell you, nothing wrong with getting a present, but I'll take the presence any day over a present. Amen? Any day. All right. Now, so the angel sang. That was my whole point. I could have been shorter, but the angel sang. Now I'm going to start on my second. The shepherds, their response to is a little bit more detailed. Their response to the birth of Jesus. Let me read it real quick, starting in Luke 2:15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven. That lets you know where the angels were. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the angels were on earth, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let us go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Can I tell you something? People cannot find Jesus. People cannot find Jesus unless God tells them where to look. Come on, the shepherds would not have found Jesus unless the angel came and said, look for a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We're the same way the shepherds were, the same way people are today. They'll never find them unless God intervenes. Unless God intervenes in one's life, they will never come to that manger. They will never come to the true God. Job said in Job 23, verse 3, all that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. Job couldn't find him, even though he was closer than Job would ever know. Job 37, 23 says, as for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and abundant justice. So the shepherds, after having been guided by the angel, now says that we can go and find him, and that is exactly what they did. Verse 16 reads, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So the shepherds went to see Jesus. The verb there implies that they expended some effort to find Mary and Joseph. They went looking for Mary and Joseph. Amen. And I believe that there's an application for us here that we need to expend some time. We need to expend some effort, rather, some energy to find Jesus, right? Even as Christians, you know, to walk with God, it just doesn't happen. You know, Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples about prayer, Matthew 6, he said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. He says, if you really want to find, you really want to be with me, be with the Father in secret. He said, go into that secret place. Give yourself to it. Deuteronomy 4:29 reads, but from there you will seek the Lord your God. And when you find him, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. One of the most, for me, the most beautiful place in this life is the secret place. The most beautiful place in this life is the secret place. I was there this morning. when you get up and you go to a solitary place so that you can be with the Lord your God. There's no place like it. No place like it. I want to read one of my favorite. How many of you have multiple favorite portions of Scripture? It's like wherever you're reading that day, that's your favorite. But you get, why? Because you get to be with Jesus. I mean, these shepherds now are going and they're looking for this baby lying in this manger. The angel has said this, and they're going to see if the sign proves to be true. And I believe we need to do the same. Expend some effort to find time to be with God. In Song of Solomon chapter 5, the beloved or the Shunammite is looking for her beloved. Is not looking, but she imagine, if you will, this happens to us, you know. You go to bed, you're tired, you go to sleep, but in the middle of the night, he comes knocking. Or in the middle of the day, whatever it might be. And so this is how it reads. She says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. In other words, she's a dream. She's having a dream. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. Come on, ladies. If your husband said all that about you, you wouldn't just kind of roll over and say, huh? You get up out the bed and say, what did you say? Hold on. Let me tell you what he's saying to her. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. This is what he's saying. Sometimes we hear his voice in the night. Sometimes I wake up 2 in the morning, and when I wake up, I know I'm not going back to bed. I don't even get back in the bed. I just head on downstairs, and I get in my spot. Come on, everybody got this spot. I get in my spot, and I just talk to him. Amen. I start, you know, like what's going on here, telling him about himself, which he says about himself. Listen to what he says. For my head is covered with dew. This is what he's saying to her. Open to me. He's coming to the door of her heart. He's coming to where she lives. And he's saying, open to me, for my head is covered with dew of the night, which means he's been outside traveling. And all this time, his hair is getting, he's been outside for a while coming to see her. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. But she responds, I've taken off my robe, how can I put it on again? I've washed my feet, how can I defile them? And when you lived with an earthen floor, you'd wash your feet before you got in bed. The Hindus, they say, always wash their feet before they got into bed. And when someone came and knocked at the door, you would say, you want me to get up? Come on, I'm in bed. Can't dirty my feet. And so that's what she says. I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? And so she gives this excuse. Then it reads, my beloved, she says, my beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. Even though when she had gotten up to open the door, even though he had retreated, yet what was on him was still there. And when she touched the door, her heart was moved. And so as we come to seek the face of Jesus, may our desire for him be as passionate. May our desire for him be as strong. Amen? Okay, so let me go back to Luke chapter 2. That's just a sidebar. Luke chapter 2, here the shepherds now are going to see Jesus, and they came with haste to find Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Verse 17 reads, now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they go in, they see Jesus lying in the manger. When the shepherds leave, the scripture says they make widely known that which was told them, which was all that the angel said, for unto you is born in the city of David this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So, but watch this. Before you tell others about Jesus, you got to see him for yourself. Come on now. Before you tell others about Jesus, you have to see him for yourself. In other words, the shepherds didn't run off and say, hey, we're going to see this child. We've been told we're going to see. No, they went straight to Mary and Joseph, looked, searched for Jesus, and they found him. And when they did, because the sign was true, then this means the baby is who the angel says he is. We found him lying in the manger. He is who he says, who the angel says he is. That is Christ the Lord. That is the Savior of all people, right? We see the same thing sort of illustrated in Matthew 28 and 5. You know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to anoint the body on the third day. And when they look in, the angel is standing there and he says, "You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's risen from the dead. Go tell his disciples he's going to meet you in Galilee." And so while these women, they are so excited, they turn with great joy, and they're running to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. Guess who comes up and says, "All hell, rejoice!" Jesus is standing right in their path. It says Jesus met them. It didn't say they met Jesus. It said Jesus met them. In other words, he found them going to do the will of God, and he's standing right there. Before they got to tell the disciples about Jesus, they met Jesus themselves. And before you and I tell anybody about Jesus, we got to meet Jesus. We need to spend time with him, see? Right? So, they told a lot of folk about the heavenly message they heard about Jesus. Why? Because the sign was true, therefore the message was real. There's a Savior. They glorified and praised God for what they had seen and heard. And so we see in the scriptures, we see this, we see how God does it. The angel brought a message to the messenger, but the messenger takes the message to the masses. Let me say that again. The angel brought the message to the messenger, but the messenger takes the message to the masses. In other words, the angels don't preach to masses. Angel came and gave the message to the messenger, and then the messenger takes the message to the masses. Beloved, we're messengers today. Come on. And like the shepherds, we are to take what we heard, what we've seen, what we know about Jesus, and we're to take that message to the masses. Take that message to the masses. And you know, it's interesting because what we see, the pattern right here in Scripture, is really one of the ways that's been so effective. The angels sang. The shepherds proclaimed the message. But when you put both of them together, you have the message not only being proclaimed, but the message being sung. And the message covers the globe when it's sung and when it's shared that way, right? So the other day I'm walking down the hallway, and I had, like I said, I had Pandora just going in my office, and I'm walking down the hall. I don't know if I had a little hop in my kick in my step or whatever, but I know I'm whistling this too. And I'm just, can't whistle now, but I'm just whistling. And so one of the ladies next door to our business, she says, "Boy, aren't we happy today?" And I just said, "Well, I'm in my office listening to Christmas music all day, and I'm just chipping. But had I had a little bit more time, because she was conversing with someone from her office, had I had a little bit more time, I'd have thought to myself and said, "It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's all about Jesus." That's why I'm in the mood, not only in the mood, but that's why I'm in the place that I am before God. Because Jesus is the reason for the season. God help us to do what the shepherds did. Help us to tell somebody. You know what? I'm making an aim this week. I'm going to tell somebody about the goodness of God because of the Christ child. I'm going to tell somebody. I want to share my faith with someone because of the Christmas message, because of what Christ has done. Amen. Would you do the same? Would you believe God to do the same, to share the good news of Christ's birth and what that means for them? Would you share that with someone this week? Amen. I believe you would. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the reality of who Jesus is, and that his birth, Lord, is historical in this world. It's not fairy tales. It's not mythical stories, but it's factual, and it actually happened, and that he lived and died so that we might live. Father, I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be consumed with the passion, oh God, to sing your praises, oh God. Lord, that our hearts will be constantly making melody to the Lord. And Father, that out of that would flow a proclamation, out of that would flow a declaration of the goodness of God, of the love of Jesus, of the reality of his birth. Not only his birth, but his death and his resurrection, that we might come to God. Let it fill our hearts, Lord, this Christmas season, I pray. And let other people come to know the love of Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.